Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Presenting Pixie Dust. I'm Elizabeth Carr.
And I'm Brett Hovey.
And we are so Twitter-pated this week.
Twitter-pated?
So Twitter-pated.
It's a bit like constipated from using Twitter too much.
It really isn't constipated from using Twitter too much.
Yeah.
We thought we'd throw it to one of the classic Disney films this week, and we are chatting about Bambi.
It's a bit of a romance, you know.
It really is.
Movie, isn't it?
A romance story. About all of them falling in love.
A lot of frolicking, a lot of doe eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Literal playing hard and figurative. And
yeah.
We're just going to jump straight in, I think, with this one. Have you got anything else you want to say before we jump in?
No, it's good.
No? We're good? All right, then. This movie premiered on the 8th of August, 1942, in London, England, which was risky at the time because it was right in the middle of World War II.
Yeah.
And they decided to premiere it in London, which I think is just an interesting choice.
In between bomb raids.
Mm-hmm. Just chuck on a deer. That's just some light entertainment.
Well, look, they would be looking for something to take their mind off it.
Oh, surely.
Wow.
Look, I don't know very much. Well, look, I know a bit. I've seen, you know, movies and stuff and done a little bit of research, but the idea of living through a war is just kind of mind-boggling because I don't actually know what that looks like on a day-to-day basis. Like, I know there's raids. Did kids go to school during a war? Like, how dangerous was it day-to-day to just be out?
Depends on where you were.
London.
London was a high
risk
target.
Place, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was important target from the Germans. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things would have been in lockdown, shut down.
For 5 years? 6 years, 39 to 45, yeah? That was World War II.
Yeah.
So for 6 years, things were just locked down.
I wouldn't say they weren't getting bombed the whole time. Like, it didn't last the whole war that they were getting bombed.
Well, all the movies that I've seen disagree with that statement that you've just made.
Yeah.
Like, in my head, it was just chaos the whole time. That's why they had to, you know, move the kids out in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, because it was war.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, certainly you can say that it's hard to imagine watching movies being a priority during wartime.
It's just interesting.
You know, they're putting out this beautiful movie that has absolutely nothing to do with the war.
Nothing at all.
So in some ways it seems a bit frivolous. But then again, you know, some would argue, well, what's the point of fighting wars if it's not, you know, that you're fighting for your country and your culture?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is part of the culture.
I suppose so. The movie runs for 70 minutes and has got a 7.3 on IMDb and 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
7.3? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We have got our fun facts now. Are you ready to just jump in?
Oh, yeah.
We're smashing through it today. All right. So Bambi was based on a book.
Mm.
The novel, Bambi, A Life in the Woods, was intended for adults, not children. And if audiences thought the death of Bambi's mother was a bit harsh, they obviously hadn't reviewed the source material. Among other things, Bambi's father shows him the corpse of a man who had been shot by his fellow hunter to show that humans weren't immortal.
Yeah.
That would have been an interesting scene if they'd chosen
in the book.
In the book, yeah.
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Old Joe Blow got sick of his mate and
see, that's in a lot of movies I've seen as well. Then just deciding, yeah, I'm going to get rid of you. Fun fact number two, the animators studied deer extensively to get the movements just right.
Mm.
So artists spoke to animal experts, spent time at the Los Angeles Zoo and watched nature films. They even got up close and personal with two deer donated to the studio. There's a really cute picture as well. I might pop it on our Instagram of the animators with the deer in the studio watching them and drawing them. The live deer. But animators really showed their dedication to the craft when they observed a deer corpse in various stages of decomposition for several evenings to see how the muscles and tendons really worked.
Wow.
As I was researching that, it did say as well that every time they moved it, the air would fill with the stink of, you know, rotting deer. They tried not to move it
good
as
old
much
decomposition.
As they could. Ugh, gross. All right, fun fact number three. Man is in the forest had a double meaning. It is uttered in the movie to warn of approaching humans, of course, but to Disney animators, it also meant something else.
Mm.
It meant that Walt was coming down the hallway and anyone who was slacking needed to shape up immediately. So we're waiting for that. I love that. I love the idea of them going, man is in the forest, man is in the forest, and everyone rushing to, you know, put their cigarettes out and start drawing again.
Oh, look, Walt was a big cigarette smoker. I think cigarettes would be the least of their problems.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
So I think, like, if you sort of want to lean onto that metaphor of man's in the forest, you know, if you're considering that the movie was released in London.
Mm-hmm. It premiered in London. It
premiered in London.
Obviously, Disney's an American company. Sure.
But in the middle of a war, maybe there's some subtle kind of metaphors there for the Germans approaching or something like that.
Maybe.
You know, maybe that's just a little bit of, maybe I'm reading into it too much.
Maybe you are, but you know what? That's what we're here for.
Could just be about, you know, a fawn in the woods. But,
and man being in a forest.
But yeah, it could have something like that.
Maybe.
But yeah, it's an interesting choice to release it in London.
Mm.
Yes, moving on.
All right, fun fact number four. No matter how skilled the animator, the Disney cartoonist simply could not draw Bambi's father's antlers accurately. This was because of the very complicated perspectives required.
Mm.
To get around the problem, a plaster cast was made of some real antlers and then was filmed at all angles. This footage was then rotoscoped onto animation cells.
There you go.
Do you have the question that I think that you have? Which is, what does rotoscoped mean? Because I had that question.
Everyone knows what rotoscope is. Come on. Yeah, so what is rotoscope?
So rotoscoping is where you film something and then you take it frame by frame and trace over it into the animation. So that was what they did for the antlers. Just for anyone listening, because I had to Google that as well because I had no idea what that word meant. Because, you know, we have talked in detail about how I don't understand animation. Oh,
it's probably an old, you know, really it's an old school technique. We wouldn't. Although I remember, you know, have you ever, like, at school when you're teaching, ever used a projector and projected an image onto the wall and then drawn it?
No.
Traced it? Yeah, we used to do that.
We had smart boards when I started teaching.
You get a picture and you put it up on the window and then a white piece of paper on top and you trace it.
Everyone's done that.
Yeah, so it's like the same kind of thing.
Yeah, but they just had multiple frames of the same thing that they had to trace to get it accurate. Okay, fun fact number five. Man was ranked the number 20 villain on the American Film Institute's list of 100 greatest heroes and villains. The only character on the list not to appear on screen.
Wow. And he doesn't have a name or anything.
No, he's just Man.
Man.
Fun fact number six. One of the discarded characters from the original novel is Gobo, right? So he is featured. Go on. Make your joke.
Gobo. Sounds a bit like Goober or something.
It does. It's not a flattering name. He is featured in the novel as Farlene's twin brother and Bambi's first cousin. His death is a major plot point of the novel. Gobo was found by a man while wounded, nursed back to health and released back into the wild. And he concluded that men should not be feared. And then later willingly approaches a hunter who simply kills him.
Yeah.
It's dark.
Wow.
It's horrible. I'm glad they left it out.
There you go.
It's awful. Fun fact number seven, a Bambi is the first and one of the few Disney features where the songs were not sung by any of the film's characters.
Mm.
Each song was either sung off screen by a soloist or a choir.
Yeah.
It was also Walt Disney Animation Studios' only non-musical film until 101 Dalmatians in 1961, which was released 19 years later, and the only non-musical film with songs sung in the background until Tarzan, which came out in 1999, so 57 years later.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, up to that point, the songs were just sung by
the characters,
which would make sense. All right, fun fact number eight. The character of Thumper, who was called Bobo in the first draft, just by those, so we had a Gobo and a Bobo, does not appear in the original novel. He was added by Walt Disney to bring some much-needed comic relief to the script.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. He's so cute.
Thumper.
And we actually have a bonus fact this week.
Bonus fact?
A bonus fact. Oh, because,
I don't know. Can we do that? Like, we're breaking the rules
here.
We are
breaking my rules, but that's okay. We have a bonus fact because I could not choose which one to get rid of. So now we have bonus one. So bonus fact. We need a little jingle. Bonus fact. This was the last full-length animated feature made by Walt Disney until Cinderella in 1950. So it was 8 years. The gap was due to the lack of film workers who were in military service and materials necessary to make films when World War II was going on.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's it.
There you go.
It's really interesting, actually, just on that, because, I mean, we're so used to Disney pumping out, like, 2 or 3 films a year now when they have the resources, the money, the technology to be able to do that. But it was just, even watching this movie, I was watching it going, this is so much work. Mm. So much work involved in this. It's so detailed and just the thought that there was 8 years in between. That's a lot of years to not have put out any animated features. I mean, I'm sure they still had other stuff going on, live action stuff, but to have no full length animated features in that time. Well, we know they had the shorts still, the Mickey and Goofy and stuff shorts, but it's just, it's bizarre to think there wasn't a Disney movie. Well, they didn't. You know, like, there was no money after World War II.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yep. All the efforts are going towards the war and, you know, activities that would be considered non-essential would fall by the wayside.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it would... World War II finished in 45, so it's 5 years. Maybe it took... I don't know how long it took to make Cinderella. We did our Cinderella episode 2, if you want to go back and listen to it. Cindy just had her birthday too. Happy birthday, Cinderella, 71. But... you know, it would take a lot of effort and time to put these movies together. And
you're talking a few years.
Yeah, years. Yeah. So maybe they would have started quite quickly after World War II, but then it took some time to get stuff done. Because then they had a few come out quite quickly after that. So they had, you know, Cinderella and Peter Pan and Alice in Wonderland that all came out quite quickly, one after the other. So, yeah, I suppose it was just a little... It would have been very easy to just forget about things after 8 years of not putting out an animated feature to just sort of go, oh, well, we've moved on from that.
Mm.
So I just, yeah, it's just interesting.
Look, I think if you compare it to today where, you know, Disney's got a number of different studios working under the banner of Disney, Pixar and whatnot, and they've got a backlog of ideas of movies that they're going to do. You know, and so they've got multiple groups working on, you know, not sequentially, but, you know, concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so comparatively, back then they would have just had one group of people that did everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would work on one movie, then the next, then the next.
They probably would have had animators working on two things at the same time, especially when movies came out so close to each other. So it could have been animators working on, for example, Peter Pan and Alice in Wonderland at the same time, doing different things for both.
Be worth investigating at some point, but for today's purposes...
Let's move on. Okay, so this movie, the opening sequence of them going into the forest... the opening animation sequence. There are so many layers of animation of that. And it's really interesting how they've put their, like the animated, the trees in the front that look like miniatures. I'm not even convinced that they're not photos of actual trees.
Yeah.
But then like all the way in the background, the waterfall is moving.
Mm.
It's just, it's so interesting how they've done that and why they've made the choices that they did.
So I think the couple of things that really stand out to begin with is the use of the multi-pane effects. We've covered that in a number of episodes before, where they're using a number of glass panes that the layers of animation are painted onto, and they change them and move them as they need to, and they can use them to zoom the camera in. And it's really noticeable at the start of this. But what you said there was the detail in those background drawings. But what you notice is there's a really big difference between what's the quality of the background drawings and the quality of the characters themselves. So the background's got heaps and heaps and heaps of detail, but if you look at the characters, their colours are very flat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, flat brown, flat grey. You know, obviously they look like the animals that they are, but you can just see that for the sake of being able to animate them and move them, it paid at the time to not have so much detail in the characters. By today's standards, the characters are just as detailed as everything else in the picture frame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we looked at
Frozen.
Frozen. What Soul. Was it? Soul recently, where we said that the characters, with the exception of a couple of distorted features, they basically look like a real live human being, and there's mm-hmm. no difference between the quality of that, the look of that character, and the quality of the look of everything else around it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this one to me was really eye-opening to see that difference.
Well, I suppose it's because they have to replicate the characters.
Mm.
If they just do a flat colour, that's easier to fill in later.
Yeah.
They know they need grey number 3 for yeah. Thumper rather than that's needing right. to...
He's got an outline and he's got about 3 colours and that's yeah. it. Mm. You know, there's no fur, there's no kind of...
There's no textural fur.
Textural he's stuff, got, yeah. no. Yeah, so for me, I thought that was really interesting to see that, to view that. So for people who are going to go and watch this movie, that's something to look out for.
Yeah. And in that opening scene where we see all of the animals sort of just doing animal things around the yeah. forest, I just thought this is just a lot of work for just setting a scene.
Mm.
I thought that a lot about this movie, that this movie goes for 70 minutes yeah. and like 2 things happen in the whole time. There's yeah. in terms of plot and story points.
Yeah.
There's a lot of just faffing about in this,
there's
you know.
There's a lot of
faffing. Like, frolicking.
I actually wrote that down. There is a lot of faffing about with the rabbits and birds.
There's just, like, a lot of birds flying. There's a lot of frolicking. There's, you know, a lot of bunnies jumping around and, you know, it's...
There's a lot of... And there's a lot of humour in that. So, mm-hmm. the you know, the storytelling, you know, device is that there's a lot of... humor in all those little things that the animals do,
yeah,
and the way that they are as an animal, and the way that they interact, but it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the plot.
No, it's got nothing to do with
almost
the plot,
nothing
in
at
fact.
All. Yeah,
it's just yeah, it's a lot. And I spent, you know, the first how long do you reckon 15 minutes of the movie
what going... on your phone?
No, not on my phone. I was paying attention this time because I haven't seen this movie in a long time,
yeah.
I've seen it, you know, this was one of the ones that we had as a kid. We yeah. had the VHS of Bambi, yeah. so I watched it a fair few times, but I don't remember there being so much nothing.
But you could be on your phone for 15 minutes and look back and
anything.
Nothing's changed.
You haven't missed anything no. except for the, you know, animation, which is really cute.
Mm.
The animals are really cute. All of them have got this, like, round sort of cuddly softness
yeah.
to them, every animal.
Yep.
But it's just, and I suppose you know what it is as well, is that with the exception of later on in the movie when Bambi has that, you know, fight with the other stag. Are
yeah.
they stags at that point? Is there a word for teenage deer? Is he a stag as soon as he grows antlers? Is that
yeah,
the rule?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, the stag with
yeah.
the other stag. There's no, like, bad characters that are animals. There's no bad guys. You know mm. how when the... you know, historically, when anyone animates the heroes and the villains, it's very different in terms of what they look like, even if you're looking at, like, Scar and Mufasa,
yeah.
right? But there's no, air quote, bad characters. So they all are just real cute.
Yeah.
So the whole way through, it's just like, oh, that's really
yeah.
nice. Like, Thumper is so cute with his one tooth at the start, you know, and his little lisp. And Bambi is so cute when he's a fawn and he's, you know, tottering around on those long spindly legs. And even, you know, the mum is cute and the owl is cute and everyone's just so cute.
Mm.
But which is lucky because nothing happens at any point
well,
in like the first 15 minutes except Bambi's born.
Well, when Bambi has a fight with the other stag,
mm-hmm.
this
that's
is
not
well,
too much
this is
later.
Well later in the story.
Yeah.
Even that stag... himself doesn't have any kind of backstory. There's no premeditation. It really is just there to display that that's the nature of those animals. Is
yeah.
that they want some, you know, like they're fighting, they fight
for, over Feline.
For supremacy, yeah.
yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
Once the fight's done, let's see you later.
Yeah.
But there's no, there's nothing premeditated about it. There's nothing.
No, he just comes out of the bushes and,
you know, maniacal, like you'd see in other bad characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a strange, it's sort of a, all these little things that happen. But, you know, if you were to say, oh, the plot of the story is that it's virtually a year in the life of.
Well, that's what the, the book's called, isn't it? A Year in the Forest?
Is it? I don't know.
Isn't that what I just said in one of my fun facts? A Life in the Woods, sorry.
Yeah, it's like basically a year in the life of Bambi, although probably more than a year when he becomes a stag. But the point is, it's kind of like that circle of life, which is what I wrote down at the end.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, we see him, as a little baby coming out. Well, it's coming out. But
that's the prologue. That's the prequel.
That's, yeah, if you read the book, it's probably in there. But,
oh, gosh.
But yeah, he becomes, the new prince is born. That's the big thing. And then at the very end, Bambi's had kids.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Bambi. Yeah.
So as a kid, I convinced myself purely from watching this movie as I was watching it that deer were a much more important part of like forest life than they probably are, because they're like the prince of the forest. He's the prince. I'm like, man, deer must be so important. In that, like, you know, it's like the Lion King. You know, the lions are the kings. But
well, see, the thing is that with the lions, they eat the other animals, right? So they are like top of the food chain.
Sure.
Whereas deer, they're herbivores.
Yeah.
So they, and like all the other animals in the forest, they just that are described in this movie, they all eat grass. It's like there's no real competition.
No.
It's not, no hierarchy there.
But also,
but he's the prince of the forest.
It's interesting though, because Bambi's the prince of the forest and the young prince is born, but then his father is the great prince.
The great prince.
And where's the king?
Yeah.
Who's the king of the forest? That's the bear, right? That's hibernating during winter that they didn't meet in this book because it's going to come and kill them all. It's like the grizzly.
In the sequel.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah, it's strange. It's a strange one. They called him Great Prince. But, yeah, because, you know, it's kind of redundant that if you don't have a king, you can't have a
queen,
you can't have a prince, really, because that's the nature of those terms.
It made
They're relative to each other.
If Bambi is the prince, then surely his father is the king. But he's not. He's described as the great prince, and they say Bambi's mother says none of the other deer has lived half so long. I'm thinking, this deer does not look that old. What is the time span, like life expectancy of these deer in the forest? 6 months?
Well, because, with the humans around, not very long.
Because this baby's father, how old must he be? Like 4, 5? Yeah. Like how many years does... Oh, look, I don't know. It just... Yeah. It was a few confusing things. So just for our lovely listeners who are from the US or the UK, where deer are like a thing.
Yeah.
We don't have deer.
We have deer in Australia.
We have, but they're not like roaming the forest.
They are.
Well, are
but,
they?
Yeah.
But they're an introduced species.
Honey,
like,
you're not
just
a camper. You're not going to go to those places where those deer are.
Look, that would be like us saying, that would be like us saying, oh, see that kangaroo? He's the great prince of the outback. Like there's 40,000 kangaroos. What makes that one so special? And throughout the whole start of this movie, it gives the impression, even Bambi's like, are we the only deer here in the forest? And Mum's like, no, there are some more. So will I meet them? Yeah, you might. And then they go to the meadow and they're everywhere. So I'm like, what makes Bambi so special? And why has he not met any of the other deer? Do deer live in packs? They do, don't they? Live in like herds?
Generally.
So why are they just kicking around on their own? Maybe because he's the prince. And so he's segregated from the rest of the
It's a strange
group.
One.
The herd.
Because, like, they don't refer to the great prince as, like, his dad.
No.
He
calls him son later. So that's why I think we're supposed to infer
that he's actually the dad.
That because Bambi's the prince as well. So presumably that's the lineage. It's all very confusing.
Yeah.
Don't think about it too much. Maybe we need to read the source material for it all to make sense.
Now, on to something a bit more positive and less abstract. There is some wonderful scenes throughout the movie where, you know, the animation's very clever.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favourite parts that there's a couple of parts. So in the middle, there's no real scenes, but in the middle of the story, there's a rainstorm. It's interesting because what they do is you don't hear the rain at all during the whole sequence. You hear the song. How does the song go?
Chip, chip, chop, little April showers.
And it's quite fun and interesting, but I thought it was a really interesting choice to have no sound of the rain. But during this whole sequence, you have this choral music in the background.
You know what? I picked up on that too, because there are no sound effects in this whole movie. Mm. It's just like orchestration. So even when the lightning is crashing, you hear, you know, big swells of instruments, but not
the drums
sound
and the cymbals and stuff like
the
that.
The only sound effect you hear throughout this whole movie is the gunshots.
Yeah.
They're the only ones that are not, to my knowledge, that I noticed, that were not orchestrated. Everything else is orchestrated.
Now, on the sounds, there actually isn't a whole lot of talking in the movie if you compare it to other movies.
There's less than 1,000 lines
said by the
characters.
Yeah, it's quite noticeable. I mean, it is a shorter movie than a lot of other Disney movies. But having said that, they don't, you know, we said it all about the animals that are faffing about. There's not a lot of dialogue during that at all.
No.
Most of the dialogue's probably Thumper, probably does the most speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was going to say too with that rain shower and the music in the background, there's this beautiful moment where you see these leaves and there's a flash of lightning and you see basically the skeleton of the leaf, you know, I don't know what they're called. They're kind of like the veins of the leaf.
Yeah.
And so you see this, flash of lightning and it just lights up these leaves. And I just think it was just so clever. And it really reminded me of, do you remember we were talking about Peter Pan?
Mm-hmm.
And Tinkerbell goes behind the leaf and you see the glow and stuff. It was just like that.
Yeah.
And brilliant.
So, I wrote that down too.
But the thing is, it's only a flash, but you'd have to look out for it.
Yeah, I wrote that down too, the lightning light animation. That's, you see the light sort of reflected off lots of things around the animals and the leaves and the trees. But I noticed that part too where it lit up the leaf.
Yep.
And I just thought, oh, that must have been so much work. work to make that one little flash, but it looked really good. Mm. But I also noticed during that scene when the rainstorm finished and all the water droplets were just finishing falling. And they were falling and it was like they fell to nothing. There were big puddles on the floor, but they didn't fall into the puddles until right at the end we saw some little
beautiful circle
animation of something, rain presumably, hitting the puddles. But prior to that, the drops didn't hit the puddles.
Mm.
I just thought, oh, that's interesting. It must have just been difficult to animate that.
Artistic choice. They had that beautiful puddle at the end. It really sort of stops for maybe 10-15 seconds and focuses on this one puddle, and you see the reflection of all the other things in the background, the forest, and I think you might see Bambi as well.
Yeah.
But if you just look closely, there's just this slight shimmer of water. The way they animate it's beautiful. Slight shimmer of water, and then two droplets of water drop down, and they make like droplet rings.
Yeah.
As they spread out on this puddle, and it's just a beautiful little moment.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a couple of sort of foreshadowing moments with the reflection. So when Bambi first meets Faline in the meadow, he's drinking from the pond and you see her reflection over the top as you zoom out and there she is. And that happens later again when he's a teenager and he's drinking from the pond, whatever, or the melted snow, and you see her there again too. So I just thought that was a nice little throwback. But the music was so important in this, because even when they go to the meadow and everything seems like it's fine, and then you get that, dun, dun, like almost Jaws music. It's almost Jaws of this, you know, sort of ominous, hang on a minute, something is not good, something bad's coming. And I just thought that it was, the choice of music and the orchestrations was so important in this movie in helping it create sort of the feel that it has.
So for a movie that doesn't have the characters singing in it,
no,
but the music is such a huge part of the scenes and moves it along really well. And they go into this meadow and they're checking for danger. you know, mum's like, nah, you can't just run and prance out there in the meadow. We're exposed.
Not like Gobo in the book.
No. but there's this great moment when Bambi watches all the bucks prance by, and they're all prancing by in unison. So it's about, I don't know, about 30 bucks, big males, and they're prancing along and to the beat of the music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really clever, really clever stuff.
And then you can see him learning from the deer, yeah, and sort of mimicking them. I liked, there was, when the scary music sort of came back in and there's chaos and the deer are everywhere because the birds fly over and we hear the birds sort of mourn them, but we're not told anything about what is happening, just that everyone's getting out of there. So you have to infer this threat of man. This is before they've even spoken about man. Yeah. And then we hear these two shots ring out, but they're back in the glen and, you know, Bambi's mum tells him man was in the forest. Yeah.
Well, we see Great Prince.
The Great Prince, yeah.
He's sort of up there presiding over the area, and he gets spooked first by this sound maybe that he hears. And so you know that if the Great Prince is running, it's time to run.
Time to go.
Cue ominous music.
So that's like we've been watching them faff around in the woods for so long, and then this thing happens and we're like, oh, it's getting interesting. And then they have a 25-minute ice skating montage of Bambi and Thumper sliding around on the ice in the snow.
Well, they go from what's presumably summer to all of a sudden it's autumn.
Yeah.
And then very quickly sort of into winter.
I thought that the animation showing the passage of time was really cool.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah.
And the deer walking through the forest looking for food and ripping the bark off the trees. And
But it's interesting that they kind of just skipped over autumn. Yeah. Like, oh, nothing happens in autumn. Let's move on.
They showed the swirling red leaves.
Yeah, that was about it. It lasted about, you know, 30 seconds. That was it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they get into the winter. And, of course, there's this great moment where Bambi's following Thumper. And he ends up doing this, like, helicopter spin across the ice.
It was all very cute, but I wrote at that point, this movie is slow.
Well, you know
because
what?
Because it is.
Because we're, you know, well over halfway now,
mm-hmm.
And he's still a little baby.
And nothing has happened.
A baby Bambi. Yeah.
Nothing's really happened. But then we have, you know, the big emotional climax of the movie here, when we come out of winter and it's coming into spring and they go back to the meadow because that's where the grass is.
That's where the grass is.
Yep. And man is in the forest.
Yeah.
But they're the only ones there at that point, aren't they? It's just Bambi, his mum. The Great Prince is there too, like in the background, because Oh, no, he's not there. We don't see him at that point, but
we see him a bit later.
But, you know, we hear Bambi, it's time to go because mum's looking really scared, and we get that almost Jaws music again. And, you know, bang, bang, bang.
Well, that's the thing, see? So Bambi, she basically tells Bambi to skedaddle.
Run, don't look back.
Don't look back, and off he goes. And so he runs, she is sort of following him.
Yeah.
And then we hear a bit of a bang, and we don't see anything else of Bambi's mum at all.
Yeah.
So
we just see him still running through the
you
forest.
You know, if there's no body, honey, we
no
don't.
Body,
there's
no crime.
Murder. So,
but that scene of him looking for his mum is really sad.
Maybe that's what happens in Bambi 2. Maybe mum comes back. I don't know.
Bambi 2 is back, sort of. It's like the intermediary thing because he's back to being a fawn.
Oh, really?
In Bambi 2, yeah.
It's an acute angle.
Yeah.
It's an acute angle. mathematics
but
joke.
It's daddy to the rescue because the prince sort of comes and finds him and basically says, you won't see your mum again.
Yeah.
Soz.
Yeah, he's pretty sympathetic.
And then Bambi's just a teenager. So you wonder what happened to him in that time. Like, did someone else
Nothing
come and take
important.
Care of him? Who took care of him?
Well, Great Prince is probably taking him
under his shoulder. I suppose he's got the rabbits.
Well, once he knows that he needs to eat grass, that's about all he needs to know.
Yeah, that's
true. Being a forest
Stay
animal.
Out of the meadow and eat grass.
That's right.
It. I suppose it's like spring now, so the food's going to start growing back.
Yeah, and so we get a really interesting song. All the birds in the trees were amorous, and you know, springtime, everyone's getting all obsessive about finding a partner. And, of course, Thumper and Bambi and who's the other guy?
Flower.
Flower. They get have a big discussion with the owl about
in their 45-year-old man voices.
Yeah. Yeah, so all of a sudden they've got these deep voices and
it's been 1 year.
Yeah.
It's not been that long since Bambi was a fawn and he was, you know, kicking around. In winter, he was a baby.
Yeah.
Now it's spring, a handful of weeks later, and he is a, like,
fully-fledged
male with antlers. But I digress.
So the owl gives him a bit of a talking to and says, you know, you're going to get Twitter-pated. You know, you're gonna get sort of find a girl and be all basically fall in love. I don't think they use the term love, but something like that. And Bambi's like, it's not gonna happen to me. Flower gets a girl, Thumper gets a girl.
Very quickly.
Yeah, very quickly.
Like in the next 3 minutes.
And then Bambi bumps into his squeeze, Feline, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Feline. And so they get all sweet on each other and then a buck jumps in and has a bit of a fight with Bams.
The animation of that fight is really good.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of the fight between Simba and Scar at the end of The Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
Just the way that it's
like
animated.
Like climbing up the walls and
stuff.
Yeah,
the climbing up the walls and, like, the camera angles, how it sort of pans around them and stuff. It reminded me a lot of that.
Yeah. And, of course, Bambi and Feline hang out. There's a bit of Netflix and chill.
Very Can You Feel the Love Tonight.
A bit of Wham Bambi and Thank You Mambi.
Have you been waiting this long to make that joke?
Yeah, about 40 minutes.
Okay,
So the but then of course, so everything's sort of all looking really happy and stuff, and then things change
very quickly because man's back.
Man is back,
and I found that scene where the birds were hiding in the grass. I think are they like peahens or something that sort of.
Maybe quails.
Something like that. But they're in the grass, not in the trees, which is interesting. So they're in the grass and one of them is telling the other one, look, just calm down because she's freaking out down there that she can hear them and they're getting closer and we can't just stay here and wait for them to shoot us. And then, of course, she flies away. And it's such an anxious scene where you can really feel for this character who we've never seen before and is only in the, you know, movie for 45 seconds. And in that time, we really get a connection with her and we're like, oh, no, please don't go. Stay there. You're okay. Stay there. And then she flies and is immediately shot. And we see her fall to the ground. And I think that that's one of the only animal deaths, really, that we see. Yeah. We hear shots, but that's the first one that we see hear the shot and then see her fall dead.
Yeah.
Which is horrible.
And they say that, like, there's more men have come. There's not just one man this time. And they've got something. We can sort of see, like, a fire off in the distance with a couple of what looks like cabins. Like, they've really set up this time.
I thought they were tents.
Something like that. Tents or something.
Yeah, they're camping out there.
And so they've come to go hunting.
Mm. And they've brought their dogs.
And the dogs, they're there this time. And there must be, about 8 dogs or something?
Yeah.
So quite a few. And they chase Bambi and Feline.
Mm-hmm. And Bambi's shot.
Yeah.
Or is he?
Well,
because I have a question about this. The question that I have is, we hear a shot, we see Bambi fall.
Yep.
Then fire starts, like, spreading.
Yeah.
Through the forest from the unattended campfire that the men have left.
Mm.
And the great grand high prince, whatever his name is, comes to Bambi and says, you've got to get up. You've got to move. And Bambi's like struggling to get up because he's been actually shot.
Yeah.
And then he just sort of gets up and runs off with the prince. And I'm thinking, where is he shot? Where have they hit him? Because he's fine now. He sort of limps a little bit on his back legs at the start.
He's just been winged, I think.
Maybe he's not being shot.
No, he might have just copped a bit of a graze or something.
Oh, look, I don't know. But he went down like a sack of potatoes and then he just gets up like everything's fine.
Yeah.
And starts, you know, frolicking back through to go and try and find Feline.
I mean, it's possible for him to get shot but not actually die. That does happen.
Oh, so you're telling me this is another part of the story where nothing happens. Like, he gets shot, but he's fine.
There's fire, though.
There's fire. Yeah. As we were watching the animation of the fire, I did think, well, they've come a really long way because the fire is not animated as we would imagine it to be animated.
I still thought it looked pretty good.
It looked good,
there was, like,
it was
layers
like
of it.
Fire.
And, yeah, but didn't have... nah, it's not like we'd see these days in animation.
No. So the whole thing was like super impressive, and then the fire was like, okay.
Fire is a bit like hair. It's one of those really difficult things to animate.
But they can animate water.
Sure.
So, I mean, I couldn't animate fire. So I'm sure they did a fantastic job, but it was one of those moments, probably the only moment in the movie where I went, oh, yep, 1942.
Mm.
That's right. Because the rest of it really stands up. Watching all the animals like on the island, I didn't know there was that much water surrounding the forest.
Yeah.
Because we'd have...
We haven't had much... Oh, no, they did have the frozen lake during winter. So
yeah, but the lake was not that big. It was like a stream. No. It wasn't really a frozen lake.
No.
But apparently they're on a beach, wherever they are, because there's water everywhere except for this tiny little island where a handful of animals have escaped the fire. And then when we cut back and to
they kind of escape the humans after that pretty...
Do you think the humans died in the fire?
Don't know. I just think that maybe the animals moved to a different part of the forest.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe.
The thing is about this, that they don't really spend any significant time on the humans in this story.
We don't see them.
It's not really about them at all. We don't see them up close. I don't even think we barely even see them at all.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really...
We don't see them at all.
No, I don't think we...
Not at all.
No. No.
No. You're looking at me like you're not sure if I'm right.
I'm trying to think of if there was a spot. No.
Nah.
No, we see the camp, we see the fire, we see a bit of smoke.
And the dogs.
We see the dogs, but we don't see the man.
No.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Oh, that's an interesting choice. This nameless, faceless evildoer. So, yeah, and then because it kind of wraps up pretty quickly from there.
Yeah.
Once the man is out of the men are out of the story, even though they were barely there to begin with. But, yeah. That goes back to spring.
Mm-hmm. And full circle. So we've gone, is it spring or was it already spring? Where are we, do you think it is? Is it another full year since that's passed?
Oh, because the men came back and, yeah.
Because they were Twitterpated, it was spring.
Yeah, springtime.
And then, are we back at spring?
So sort of spring, summer, yeah.
Again? So this is another full calendar year has passed,
yeah,
do you think?
Yeah, I reckon, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's when we find out that old Bams... It's going to be a dad.
He's a dad.
Mm.
He's got two babies.
Yep. Yeah, a boy and a girl.
The end. And then when you see him, like, up on the cliff with the great prince, who's still alive.
Yep.
And they're up on the cliff together, and he just sort of walks away. Absentee father. He, like, is looking over them and then just turns and walks away.
Yeah. That's kind of the end of it.
Yeah,
circle
that was
of life.
The end of it. All right. So how many clovers do you give this movie then?
Well, look, like we said, it was very slow at the beginning.
And in the middle.
It just felt like not a lot of stuff happened. Lots of little tiny things, but no real plot, you know. I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, I watched the whole thing. Only checked Facebook once. And I'd probably give it probably a 7.
Okay.
7, flat 7. Mm-hmm. No 7
no
and a half.
No halfsies this time?
No. It was still very good. There were lots of good fun parts to it. And I think this one, in many respects, would appeal to kids more than adults.
Really? Because I think it's horrifying.
Oh, look, I just think, yeah. Like, I don't think there's a whole lot of overlay of hidden adult jokes in there.
Oh, no,
like, a
no
lot
jokes.
Of other movies have them. They have another layer of jokes that that adults
not
get that kids don't.
Not these old-school Disney movies,
but this
though.
Is, yeah, it's old-school. So, yeah, look, it's not a bad movie. Definitely sit down and watch it with your kids if you've got nothing better to do. 7. How many stag antlers would you give it?
I reckon about the same, probably 7. I think the animation was beautiful. I think the story kind of let it down. So, I mean, you know, it's hard to say let it down. I think that we're so used to now being so overstimulated with story and movement. And if we think of something like Onward, right? Mm. Which was just, you know, and then this happened, and then this happened, and look at the colours, and look at this character, and oh, isn't this funny, and here's, you know, some music, and oh, but now it's a twist, you know, and Bambi didn't have any of that. It was just a nice story.
Yeah.
Some parts were sad. about a deer in the forest, and it was just nice. And I think that you could put it on for anyone and they would get it.
Yeah.
There's not that much story to follow. It's cute.
And the dialogue's not that complex.
No, so I think that you could, didn't matter what, you know, language or anything you speak, you could watch this movie and understand it.
Yeah.
And it would make perfect sense. So, yeah, I think about 7. That's probably enough.
Yeah. It was a good movie.
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah. No, it was good. It was good. Seven's it is good one score. From my childhood, so it was a good movie. All right, so I think that about wraps us up for today. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Presenting Pixie Dust. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And if you're feeling super duper generous, you should go and rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts, because it is a really simple thing that you can do to help other people find the show if you're feeling so inclined. Also, you can listen to Brett's other podcast, Teaching for Dummies, wherever you get your podcasts. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.